Right, 1 Thessalonians 5. You have your Bibles tonight, 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to be in our series that we've been in on Sunday nights on healthy church culture, part 6. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 11 through 14, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 11 through 14. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house. Thank you for the prayer meeting that we had tonight. Thank you, Lord, for that. Those men and ladies tonight that divided up to pray ahead of the service. Thank you, Lord, for the singing and the special ahead of this preaching time. Just ask you to lead and guide, and I'll thank you and give you all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we're looking at the phrase, comfort the feeble-minded. Comfort the feeble-minded. Feeble-minded means weak in mind, wanting firmness or constancy, irresolute. And irresolute means not firm or constant in purpose, not decided, not determined, wavering, given to doubt. Irresolute men either resolve not at all or resolve and re-resolve. Now, there will be those in the ministry and in life, but also in the church, as 1 Thessalonians 5 deals with the church specifically. And this is not an attack, but they are mentally weak. They cannot handle as much mentally. Now, there was a time, and I can be honest with you, there was a time where mental strength for me when it came to the spiritual things is not what it is now. And I pray I'll be able to look back at some point on further down the line and be able to look back to where I'm at today and say, you know what, I'm stronger mentally about the things of God than I was even as I stand here today. Because the Lord is constantly trying to strengthen our mind about the things of God and in service to Him. But there will be times in the church, and we can all be guilty of it at different times, where we are just mentally weak. But there will be those at times that are given over to not just areas of mental weakness, but those who are given over to mental weakness. It doesn't take much mentally for them to stop their service to God. They cannot handle as much mentally without falling apart. There are many obstacles that prevent them from being committed, which prevents them from being all in. They waver in their calling. They waver in their duties to God, to man, and the church, because mentally they cannot sustain the pressure. Now, I've learned in the ministry, some folks, and it's not an attack against them, as the Bible does not condemn the feeble-minded, neither do I. But I found that some, when you ask them to do something or if they can, at times there will always be a reason why they cannot do it. And a lot of times it comes back to feebleness of mind. The mind is not determined. The mind is irresolute. Mentally, they don't know how to process it. Mentally, they cannot handle it. Now, I tell you what I can handle today is more than what I could handle when I first came into the ministry. If I told you some of the things when I first came into the pastorate that tripped me up, you'd be like, what? And even now, when I look back and I think back about some of the things that to me, and I thought more seasoned pastors were just crazy whenever I would talk to them, like, you don't, that doesn't bother you? You heard somebody say this, or somebody did this to you, or this, that, and the other. And I'm like, that doesn't bother you? No, that don't bother me. I dealt with that kind of stuff a long time ago. But to me, That was something bad. That was something tough. That was almost something where it's like, you know what? I can't handle this. Lord, you might have the wrong guy for this, you know, in the ministry. But at times we'll face things. We don't know how to process it. We don't know how to handle it. And at times, if we're not careful, we'll lack determination. We'll lack mental strength and mental toughness to see what needs done and to be willing to do it. Now, I'm not talking about those who are unable. You know that this evening. I'm talking about the unwilling. Now, in the Marines, they drilled into us mental toughness. They told me before I even went in, 90% mental is what they say. I think it might could have been even more than that. But it took mental toughness to endure what we endured. Many of you that have served in here today, you know the mental toughness that it took to get through the things that you had to endure. It took a certain degree of mental toughness that a lot of people didn't have. And if they did have it, they'd have done what you did. It took mental toughness to leave our families, kiss our wives, and hug our children and mothers goodbye, to go off to war. I could give you example after example of injuries that I saw and injuries that even happened to myself going on hikes and runs. I think about shin splints that turned into stress fractures in my feet, or my feet being practically one whole blister, but you just keep marching on. Your boots get wet. Well, you don't have another pair of boots. You keep walking in those boots. Your socks are wet, you keep marching in those socks. The socks are wet, it don't matter. Boots, socks, whatever. You're soaking wet too. It don't matter if it's the rain. I mean, and you're just chaffed all over from here to down and all over. You know, I think about having chemical burns on my feet and arms in Iraq, which resulted at times in some of the skin coming off in pieces as I changed my socks and shirts. And guys would go to work with fevers, maybe even flus, without getting nasty with it. But guys running while vomiting, hiking while vomiting. But what builds mental toughness is fighting through pain, fighting through adversity, fighting through inconvenience, pushing through the pressure, and getting the job done. You get the job done. You see, in the military, and I didn't understand this at first, but in the military, the mission is number one. The mission, they place the mission even ahead of troop welfare. You will lose people when you go to war, but the mission is the concern. The mission is number one. Accomplishing the mission, even in the ministry, God and His calling on our life should be number one. He gives us a family to help accomplish that, not to hinder us. He gives us finances and living accommodations, not as a hindrance, but as an assistance. Now, in this passage, we're dealing with the feeble-minded. The Bible says we need to comfort them as they are, in essence, crumbling and falling apart. The idea here is to support the weak. Help hold them up. Use the strength that you have to help them, to comfort them. You know, while I was in the Marines, we also had some who were of a more feeble mind than others. We had one guy, still remember his name. His name was Conley. And within I would say in the first 5 days of boot camp, he was crying every day in front of everybody. And one day I pulled him aside. I said, "Brother, you're making it hard on yourself." I said, "If you're going to cry, cry in Iraq when the lights go out. That's when you're going to cry. Do that." But, you know, he was about 150 pounds. He'd do about 10 push-ups and he's in tears, you know, because it was a lot. It was a lot for him. You know, but that there was guys, even in the Marines, that were some more of a feeble mind than others. Some had meltdowns, some breakdowns, some, again, cried in front of everyone, but we didn't ostracize them. They were our brothers, too, and we loved them, too. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that not everyone, even when you think about the military, not everyone will be a Bronze Star recipient. Not everybody's going to be a Medal of Honor recipient in battle. But the other men and women are just as important. And if you think about in the ministry, not everyone's going to be a Paul type. To take the licks, the beating, the persecution, the imprisonment, and keep plugging on. The Apostle Paul was the exact opposite, the polar opposite of feeble-minded. In the ministry and in life, some people are going to be prone to worry, prone to fret, prone to become fearful. Minds easily swayed by information, persecution, inconvenience. But I encourage you, as Paul does, to comfort them. You may be stronger than them. You might have the right assessment, but comfort them. The word comfort means to strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer, or enliven. You see, God didn't give us strength to look down on people that don't have the same degree of strength that we have. He gave us the strength that we have to be able to reach down and help some people that don't have the strength that we have. The Bible says to comfort them. The word comfort means to strengthen, invigorate, to cheer, or to enliven. So the Bible says to comfort them. Comfort the feeble-minded. The word comfort means, once again, to strengthen the mind. So we're to comfort them, in essence, not to remain feeble-minded, which means being feeble-minded is a condition that is in need of correction. Our minds need to be moved from weak to strong. It comes by receiving comfort from those who are strong. And the leadership in the church should be the strongest ones in the flock of the living God. Men in leadership should be an example of what strong men do for the Lord. Ladies in leadership need to be the examples of what strong women do for the Lord. And this is what we need. We need strong men and strong women in the church of the living God. Not swayed to and fro, but strong. Amen. And those who are strong need to strengthen those who are not. We are to comfort them, and in doing so, they can also have their mind strengthened. In time, I don't know right now, as I don't know any of you, but in time, I will know who in our church are the strong ones. They take their licks, and they just keep coming. They get knocked down, they spring back up and get back in the fight. They aren't fearful for the most part. They aren't overly wearied for the most part. They have strong shoulders that carry a lot of loads. They carry a lot of the burdens, not only for themselves, but for others in the congregation. And they carry it quietly. They don't vent around about it. They have strength to them. They have their service to God. Unless they're sick or in the hospital, they'll be doing it. Nothing really stops them. I also know in time who those are who would be the more feeble-minded. And again, this is not attack. The Bible doesn't attack you. The Apostle Paul doesn't attack, and I do not either. But in time, I would know who the more feeble-minded are. Those who could be more easily swayed. Those who could be more easily convinced, easily stopped, easily changed course and direction. You know, even when I think about my children, I have some of my children are more impressionable than others. And when you think about even kids, that especially the ones that are more impressionable, you know, you have to be more careful about their influences because they're more impressionable. You know, we have more of a responsibility to the weak, to the feeble-minded in the church, in part by protecting them and sheltering them. Because you know what? If you know they're weak, guess who else knows they're weak? The devil. And like I said on Wednesday night, the devil comes after the weakest link. The least thing happens at times, and that's it. They're done with whatever it was. Many things, one thing after another, will keep them from getting busy for God. And much of the time, they know, they share with you the battle. They say, I feel like doing this, but... And the buts here are a list of inconveniences, maybe fear, maybe uncertainty, maybe unanswered questions. What if, what if, what if? When the need is to have faith and do what they feel led to do and trust everything else to God. Amen. With some, the breaking point is much sooner than another. And the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, to comfort them. Don't get me wrong, sometimes folks need a cowboy up chat or a cowgirl up chat. Essentially, let's get in the saddle and let's go. The Bible's full of that. Not that terminology, but the Bible's full of that. But most believers already know that. If you comfort them, if you encourage them, it may just bring them around to the place that they need to be. You know, sometimes folks just, in their mind, they're saying, you know what? I can't do that. I can't sing. I can't teach. I can't serve. And they just need somebody to come along and say, yeah, you can. You got it. You can do that. You can sing. You can serve. You can do something for the Lord. You know, I'm thankful for the people that told me I could when I thought I couldn't. And when I told them I couldn't, I wouldn't be preaching. Because I told a whole lot of people I can't. I can't used to be my favorite two words. I can't. Have you tried? No. Well, then you don't know if you can or can't. Amen. You don't know till you try. Amen. I used to hate that. Because they got me, and I knew they did. Because I hadn't even tried. But if you comfort and encourage them, it may just bring them to the place that they need to be, a good balance. You know, it's a whole lot better to encourage people into something than to try to drive them into something, to try to coerce them into something. A balance of truth and comfort, truth and love, and truth received should be comforting. However, if they reject your comfort, you've done your part. I've tried to comfort those at times who, being feeble-minded, which is to try and encourage them to have mental strength, encourage them to serve or get back to serving or to stick it out and come to church anyway, and they've rejected that comfort. And in doing so, what they're saying is, without saying it, is, I want to remain feeble-minded. I do not want my mind to be strengthened. You know, if someone always has an excuse, the excuse they give is not the true reason. The true reason is that they don't want to. And they're looking for an excuse. And I tell y'all tonight, as long as believers look for an excuse, the devil always makes sure they have a fresh one. When this happens with folks, I give them up to God, because God has to change their want to. God has to change who they listen to. They have to start living for God, listening to Him, and tune out Satan and his long line of excuses. Now, we also have to recognize that there'll be some who seem to be feeble, but they're not. 1 Corinthians 12:22, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. This would be for the strong that might perhaps look down on the weak because they're not as strong as they are. Now, if you don't think this is a problem, it is in our churches. There are people been saved for a long time. And yeah, they're not feeble-minded. They're strong. But they have zero patience and zero tolerance and zero long-suffering for new believers. Because they're not as strong as they are. We got to be careful with that. But according to 1 Corinthians 12:22, some seem to be feeble, but they're not. They may look feeble, but they have very strong minds. Which means not everyone's feeble that seems to be. Using a secular example, there's been times I've saw headlines. Somebody tried to rob an elderly man, and he looked like an easy target. And then they found out he wasn't an easy target. They lost. They lost. They did not rob him. Come find out the guy had some military experience. Just talking to somebody earlier about that switch on the inside. That old boy accessed the switch, that switch on the inside, and he went back. He flipped it into on when he had to. And it's amazing. But sometimes we look at somebody and we think they're feeble-minded just based off appearances. Just based off the surface things, the aesthetics. But that's not a true test. You know, we can't know the mind of an individual when backed up into a corner. But we have indications of one's strength of mind or feebleness of mind based off their responses to life, situation, and events. But the Bible says, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You know, the strong at times, and we already alluded to this some, the strong at times will be put off by the feeble. And at times the feeble will be put off by the strong. What I mean by this is sometimes the weak, according to the strong, will just be too weak. And then at times, those who would be weak would say to themselves, the strong, they're just too strong. Sometimes there's this conflict here between strengths, whether lesser strength or more strength. But at the end of the day, we all need each other. The strong and the weak are both necessary to the body. You know, when you do a word study on the word feeble, you see feeble hands, you see feeble knees, you see the term feeble in general, you see the feeble-minded, what we're looking at tonight. But any part of your body that would have weakness could be considered feeble. Now, if we went through tonight our physical weaknesses tonight, I'm sure everybody in here has something on their body, some part of their body that they would say is feeble. It doesn't have as much strength as another part of the body. It has some weakness to it. But how many of you could testify tonight that it's better to have a weak something than a nothing in its place? There's hope for weakness. There's comfort for weakness, which is to become strengthened. If you feel weak, like say your arms, you feel weak, and I do. I shouldn't at my age, but I don't feel my strength as much as I used to, which means I need to do some of this or something. But there's hope for my weakness in my arms. It's called weights or something of those along those lines. And I could strengthen my arms. But if I had no arms, I have nothing to work with. So we are to comfort, which means to strengthen them. They need strength. If your mind is prone to weakness tonight, and we can all have it at times, may we beg God to strengthen our minds. See, Peter was feeble-minded when he denied Christ. He was weak in the mind. He was in the flesh. He was not walking according to the truth that he knew. And to distance himself from the persecution of being associated with Christ, Peter made a feeble-minded decision. It was a weak decision. See, a strong decision says, yes, I know him. Yes, I served with him. Yes, I walked with him. Yes, I saw all his miracles that he done. You have mischaracterized him. I know him. That'd have been a strong-minded decision. But Peter made a feeble-minded decision, a weak decision. He said, I don't know him. It was too convenient. And he said, I don't know him. But we can't attack Peter because we've not been there in his shoes. But based off scripture, based off dissection and defining, we know that Peter made a weak-minded decision. And we know that we can all be weak-minded from time to time. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the key phrase here is let this mind be in you. What mind? Which was also in Christ Jesus. So it's the mind of Christ. So you know, sometimes we place all the emphasis of the mind on thinking, but thinking can be broke down in many ways. When you see something, what does your mind tell you? How do you perceive it? Is the mind weak? Is the mind strong? It was not only the will of the Father, but a strong mind within our Savior, our example that led him to obey his Heavenly Father, even when in his flesh part of him, it was super inconvenient. So sometimes we lose sight of that because he was Christ, we think that it almost minimizes his suffering. No, his flesh felt everything that happened to him. He felt every bit of it. I believe he felt the rejection. I believe he felt the pain and the agony and the suffering of having his father turn his back on him. Right. I believe he felt that. I believe it did something to him. We think about the cup in the Garden of Gethsemane. Sometimes we make this, I've heard people, and it bothers me sometimes, where they try to make it out as if Christ was somehow weak with what he was getting ready to encounter. But no, you think about that cup and you think of what it contained. I believe at the chief of it all, it was knowing that his Heavenly Father was going to turn his back on him. That was the chief of it all. Separation from the Father. When his father turned his back on him. Now, when we think about this and we think about submitting and surrendering to the Lord's will, you think about Christ surrendering to the will of the Father, which ultimately led to the cross. This essentially means to hold them up. Now, in terms of the feeble-minded in the congregation, now this simply means to hold them up, to comfort the feeble-minded. You're going to come across it. This is going to happen all the time. You're going to be in discussion with somebody. Now, just because somebody may be weak in a certain area in their thinking doesn't mean that they're overall weak. I have areas of weakness in my mental faculty or whatever you want to call it. There are certain things that come up, and I'm liable to still tell you I can't do something. I felt the Lord wanted me to publish them books, and I tell y'all, I'm not lying. I waited for about a year to hit publish. That's all that was left. That's all that was left was publish. Just sitting there, I can't. I had all kinds of stuff coming through my mind. All kinds of stuff. You put it out there, it's going to be critiqued. Somebody's not going to like it. This, that, and the other. But it was another part on this journey of following the Lord where I had to die to myself and die to praise as, Lee Robertson said that. He said, die to praise and die to criticism. You got to. If you don't, the praise will go to your head and it'll change you for the bad. And if you just eat up all the criticism, it'd come the same end. You got to die to both. I do my best to let praise go in one ear and out the other, same as I let criticism go in one ear and out the other. Both poison. It's one thing to say good job or this, that, and the other, and it's another thing to try and blow smoke in somebody's ear. Got to be careful with that. But we need to encourage one another. We need to comfort one another. And again, it's better to have a weak something than a not something. And again, at times we have these times in our churches where it's almost like the weak's pitted against the strong and the strong is pitted against the weak. And I know it's a battle. I've had people come to me before in the pastorate and say, I'm doing this. And yeah, they're right. They're strong. They're doing a lot. And then they say, and then you got all these others that's not doing anything. So it is in our churches. And then the weak attacks the strong, say, you're doing too much. You're making me look bad. Then the strong attacks the weak. My plate's full. You could take a few things off of it. And if we're not careful, we'll be squabbling and we'll be fighting. And it'll be a competition over who's doing the most and who's doing the least and who could be doing a little less and who could be doing a little bit more. But that's not the kind of spirit that we want to have here. Encourage people. One at a time. One thing at a time. Just one thing at a time. You think about it even in terms of like the gym. And I think about it, and I'm a long ways from where I used to be. I was just telling somebody the other day, I ain't even seen a gym except for driving by, in a while. But there was a time, okay, that I was bench pressing over 300 pounds, but it didn't come overnight. It did not come overnight. It took rep after rep after rep after rep after rep for a long time. And you know what? The best thing that you could do for somebody that was getting into the gym that might not be benching over 300 pounds would be to help them one day at a time, one rep at a time. Increase your weight. Have your max lift. See where you're at. And then get encouraged that your next max, you're up 10 or so pounds from what your previous max was. And then just keep going and keep taking steps. And you know what? Those who would be in our churches, and again, I don't know anybody here. I don't know who the strong are. I don't know who the weak are. I don't know. I've only been here, what, a month? Month and a half? But the best thing we can do for those who would be weaker in mind is to help them one step at a time, one thing at a time. They bring something up and they say, hey, I'd like to do this, but I don't think I can. Encourage them. Encourage them to get involved. Encourage them to serve. Encourage them to take one step at a time. And then before you know it, you're one of the strong ones. And then you're able to look back to where people are, which is where you were, and you're able to help them. And really, that's what the Christian life is really all about. We follow and we dedicate our lives to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We grow in grace, and then we turn back and help other people get where we are. And I've said it many times, the motto of the military, the U.S. military, cannot be no man left behind. But yet in our churches, we leave everybody behind. We got to be able to reach back and help people. We got to be able to reach back and help people that would be weaker than we would be. We've got to do it. And again, it's not a pride thing. It's not a pride thing of look at how strong I am. Look at how much I'm doing. And I've also seen that in our churches where people are doing so much and it's really about pride, not even their service. Look at all that I can do. Look at all that I can accomplish. And they talk about how much they need help and people need to help. And then when people volunteer to help, they won't take their help. What's that mean? You don't want help. There's some other motive here driving the service. The Bible also says, I forget the passage, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. That's a process for the weak to go to strong, to be able to say I'm strong. That's a process. And again, there was a time I'd have been in the church house and I'd have been the weakest one in there. By far, I'd have been the weakest one in there. And I don't know if I'm the strongest in here or not today, but I'm stronger than where I used to be. I can handle more than I used to could. It amazes me the things that used to would have kept me out of church. I deal with stuff 100 times that show up. If I told y'all some of the stuff I had to deal with in the previous pastorate, some of the things that happened, sometimes felt like I was crawling in the pulpit. But there was time I'd have stayed home over football. And that wasn't even a trial. I just want to watch the game and didn't want to go to church because church would have conflicted with the game. And I wanted to watch the game. And why it was even worse because noon games came on at like 9 a.m. So if you were a drinker, you started at 7 or 8 in the morning. Same thing on Saturday, the noon games. It was no way to live. No way at all, but I think about how weak at one time I was. And I got to give the Lord all the honor, glory, and praise for it because the strength that I do have, it's only His strength through me because if I ever quit relying on His strength, oh, I'd be weak in a heartbeat. About like my arms feel from not being in the gym 7 years. Just weak. Weak. Because I wouldn't be allowing the strength of Christ to work through me. So again, tonight, we are to comfort the feeble-minded. And again, this is not an attack tonight. It's not an attack. We've all been there. We've all been there. We've all had feebleness of mind. We've all dealt with it. Some of us maybe even said, I can't this last week to something. We didn't even try. We just said we couldn't. Can't happen. Not me. Got the wrong one. Just feebleness of mind. We all have it. We all deal with it tonight. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for your word.